We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Another episode, Irreplaceable Truths, where we talk about veterinary medicine lessons learned the hard way. Today, I have a couch full of, memories is the way I'm going to look at it. I have Ryan Forrester, IDEX.
Nice to be here.
I got my sidekick, Mallory. She was my RVT for about 20 years.
Pretty close.
And then I got Todd Johnson, Patterson Veterinary.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot here that we can just start shooting the shit.
Just go.
Just go for
so
it.
So I think we should. I think we should have fun with this. The one thing I've said on a few podcasts is that it's very important for early career veterinarians to get a strong relationship with their medical reps. The biggest mistake veterinarians make is saying, I can't talk to my rep, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that pretty fast, because as soon as you become friends with the reps, you learn a lot about the tea, let's just say, right?
Well, sure. I was going to say, I don't think we ever had trouble reaching out to our reps because we had such good relationships with them. We never struggled to get a hold of who we needed to get a hold of, right?
You had incredible reps.
Well, I mean, the best. The best in the business. The best around.
You know, my memories, let's see. I remember Todd coming in with a fluorescent orange Patterson backpack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
polo shirts.
I was looking for new medical lights, and you're like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I'll give this guy a shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he sold me a medical light. Perfect. An LED medical light that would be purple.
Yeah.
Which was unbeknownst to us and the manufacturer.
But that one meeting turned into Todd Tuesday.
Todd Tuesday.
Todd Tuesday. I mean, we knew where to find Todd on Tuesdays.
Exactly. And then Ryan with IDEX, he would keep coming in. I would still talk to you, but the problem is that I was under a horrendous contract with your competitor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't do business with you until finally my rep from the horrendous competitor never came back in because she quit and they didn't replace her. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah.
Let's go. IDEX, here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moving to Patterson and IDEX were probably two of the greatest things I ever did in my practice. You know?
Well, again, like you said, it's probably due to the relationships that you had with your local rep and that team that you created there.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you patting yourself on?
100%. He's personally responsible.
So, you know, now as you all know, my passion has changed from clinic to helping early career veterinarians. How many early career veterinarians did you deal with along your journey?
Quite a few. I mean, when I started at IDEX, I'm no longer there, but when I started with IDEX, I called on probably 750, 800 practices in Southern California. Towards the end of my tenure, it was closer to about 130. So I was constantly in front and adding value to those conversations. But, many, many veterinarians were, 5 years in, 6 years in, right out of school, the associates. And as a rep, for me, it wasn't just about communicating with the owner veterinarian. It was really about building relationships with associates as well, because that's where I could add value through the process.
Absolutely. I had two territories. I started off in Arizona, had probably about 120 accounts there, moved out here to Southern Orange County, and probably had about 120 accounts again. So like Ryan said, trying to get in and get to know the owners, but then also the associates. So you can have a full understanding of what's going on within the practice and then trying to bring resources, support, value, however you can to all of those different key players was so important for our success and to help show you guys how we were different from everyone else.
Yeah, I'm going to get into the stories. I'm sure you guys are going to be able to say, we'll keep it anonymous, but I'm pretty sure there's some stories that are going to be crazy.
I'm glad that both Todd and I are here because we're both well-educated University of Arizona graduates. So we've worked in the field together for many years, and it's nice
fear
to be
fork,
on with
guys.
Mallory.
Fear the fork, guys.
Fear the fork.
It also takes the heat off, right? Like, it's not just you're not in the slow cooker, you're not the cooker.
The thing is, like, and unfortunately, my wife was guilty of this because she had a practice manager that would never let the reps come in back and start talking. Mm-hmm. And so finally, when I purchased that practice she was at, I made sure the reps had backdoor access mm-hmm. so they could go talk to everybody. And immediately, my wife was like, oh, I didn't know this product was coming out. Oh, I didn't know this was coming around. Oh, I didn't know they offered this service. Oh, I didn't know I could do this. It's very important to stay ahead of the curve. Instead of just beating yourself up. I mean, one of the greatest things was also our Merck rep. The one thing she made sure she brought to our attention was Mentor Vet, which is a wonderful service that, you know, veterinary early career vets can sign up for if they need to talk to somebody.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. So looking at, let's say, the last 10 years, what are the biggest changes you've seen in the profession?
Well, I think with the technology itself, like, you know, corporate marketing groups are able to touch veterinarians, you know, more effectively and as far as just getting information in front of them. But
it's not always a good touch.
It's not always a good touch, exactly. And I think that's, as a rep, we really spent time understanding the needs of that particular hospital so that we could bring something of value. Maybe it's just simply education. We're not always there to sell a product or, you know, push a solution. Obviously, we want to walk through, like, and understand the true needs of that hospital because education could be where it's at. So for me as a rep, I just wanted to impact the value aspect of, like, what we were bringing. And there's no use talking about certain things if it's of no value to that particular practice.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. A lot of the times as a rep, it's easy for you to focus on, hey, I get paid through commissions. However, when you walk through the door of a practice, you really have to put your needs and your desires on the back burner and sit there and really say, Dr. G, I know that you have goals, you have aspirations, and we really want to understand where you are and where you want to go, because if we can bring you some solutions to help get you there, or point you in the right direction, whether that's with us or someone else, it's going to help you be a better practitioner and a better business owner. And stuff like that in the big picture is what truly, truly matters, because it's not a one done thing. This is a true relationship going back and forth. And we want it to be as such.
Well, in order for it to be true, there has to be trust.
Very true. Yeah.
So what would you guys do when you went into practice trying to build the trust, especially of early career vets?
For me, it was really just understand the person behind the doctor title. We all have hopes, we all have dreams, we all have fears. If I can find a way to bring that out and understand that and then be vulnerable myself and show you what I'm here trying to do, I don't want to be the same as my competitors. I want to be Todd. And I'm sure Ryan, too, was the same, where he would come in, be genuine, show a little bit of vulnerability about what he sees as deficiencies in his products, himself, or whatever that is, and then be open about that. So then you as a doctor can understand that we're all just trying to find a commonality, find those core values that match up, and then really build a good relationship off of that.
But having a real relationship and not just coming off as a sleazy salesperson, right?
Correct.
Because how many reps walk in the door and they're like, here's a bunch of stuff, but they just come off sales pitchy. They don't really care about the clinic. They don't care about our clients, our patients, the care that we're providing. They just want the sale. I can say, working with both of you, I have both your numbers in my phone. I was able to call you guys at any point. You came in with a part for our CBC machine that wasn't working. We had to do chemotherapy later that day, and we had already postponed it a couple days because our machine was broken. The part got lost in delivery, and the only time I've seen you sweat, you threw your tie over your shoulder, your nice little button-down shirt, and you had something thrown over your shoulder. Maybe it was your jacket, but you fixed our machine. You were in the back taking it apart, and you were there for us. You're like, Brian, we need you.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the trust aspect, right? As a veterinary hospital owner, like you want to be and work with reps who you know are going to be there on, like, if there's an issue or a problem. I know with Mallory, like, either helping service a analyzer or change out that part or something like that, you know, to be able to do that myself and not, because typically the technician would be responsible for maybe swapping out a machine. So again, it's just really goes to that value statement, and that's how you build trust is, you know, this guy's not here trying to sell me a bunch of snap tests or consumables or whatever. You know, he genuinely understands that maybe there's an opportunity to expand diagnostic protocol or do something that's going to impact the success and the health of the hospital and bring something that is tied to your goals, not something that's tied to the rep's agenda, you know.
Both of you were very nice to introduce me to your CEOs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you made an impact.
I did. I mean, that's
he tends to do that.
Yeah. I mean, how many people can say that they actually met the CEO and had breakfast with the CEO of IDEX, or had a lunch meeting with the CEO of Patterson? I found that made a huge difference because they actually sat down and listened to what my concerns were, mm-hmm. and what ideas I did have. And because of that, my relationship with those companies got even bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, we were the first practice in Southern California to have the IDEX urinalysis machine.
Yep.
Yep.
We were the first practice in Southern California to have the IDEX cytology machine. Mm-hmm. Yep. We were one of the first practices that were able to use. There's something else that we did. We did something else. I can't even remember. But, I mean, with IDEX, it was very specific because you guys just sold lab.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. With Todd, with Patterson, the whole world opened because they sold everything except IDEX products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great for you too, right? No competition there.
So, but no, it was unbelievable. And if I needed anything, mm-hmm. I had any, like, example is like when LRS went on national back order. Mm-hmm. I called Todd and I said, Todd, what are we going to do? And he would give me options immediately on the phone. I mean, that was huge.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to sound bad here, but as a rep, you want to help those that you get along with, you have a lot of commonalities with, and they support you. So going back to kind of what you're saying about meeting the CEOs, going back to trust, I wanted to bring him in to meet someone that I really trusted would explain what the hardships that you go through. Where are we lacking so we can get better and then make a true impact? And that's something that I'd really trusted you with. He still owes you a Coke, by the way, but that'll be a whole nother thing. But
a Coke, not some Coke.
True. Let's clarify. Edit.
But it's such a great point that Todd's bringing is, mm-hmm. like, we have as reps opportunities to bring in somebody who I think veterinarians would enjoy having a conversation with, right? And we want to bring them, those executive leadership or whoever it may be, into veterinarians who are actually going to, like, provide some good, solid feedback. I mean, really, some of the comments that came out of that meeting that we had ended up, like, I think, becoming future products. So it's important as a large company supporting the industry that you understand the common barriers and pitfalls and challenges. And, you know, by bringing somebody to you, like, you were great about providing that feedback and not worried about ruffling feathers. Like, you would give honest, good feedback that they were looking for to make our product or service better.
People who actually cared, cool. value
yep.
feedback that isn't always nice and fluffy, right?
Well, yeah. I'm a disruptor. There's no way to sugarcoat it. I like to disrupt the norm. I always have. I don't care what it is. And I think veterinary medicine now needs to be disrupted big time.
Yeah.
Were there ever situations you walked into clinics and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't understand how this person's surviving working here.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think as a rep, you kind of see everything because if we're allowed access, we see what's behind the door, you know, and we see every type of vet hospital, you know, in our respective territories. So, you know, I think, you know, without going into tons of detail about things I've seen, you just see, you know, the top of the echelon, and you see, wow, how is this practice even functioning, or mm-hmm. why do clients go even see that veterinarian, yeah. or, you know, so it's, you know what good looks like, mm-hmm. and it helps you even make recommendations on, you know, how to help clinics and how to improve, whether it be their customer service or level of diagnostics and protocols, or, you know, there's so many facets that we can impact as reps. Just by gaining a solid knowledge of, like, where there's ineptness or where there's challenges in mm-hmm. a practice.
And that also goes back to the accessibility and then learning from the owner and the associates as far as, like, what the culture is of the practice. What are the true needs? What are the biggest headaches that you guys are running into? Like, those headaches are always something that's just a key indicator for me to say I need to figure out a solution to bring in to help take care of this as best as possible.
But how nice to have that backup coming from outside resources mm-hmm. and having that input without even having to ask for it, right? Like, you guys can walk into a practice, leave, and go, what can I do to help them? So mm-hmm. you do really are there to support everybody, right?
Yeah.
You know, essentially.
For us, every individual practice has their own goals. And so Dr. G may be different from Dr. Z down the road. They may want to be low cost, high volume. Well, we can still make a positive impact there. But we need to know, how is that going to look in the future? Where are we going to go? Where's the doctor want to go? And then how can we bring in resources to help that?
Yeah.
That low cost, high volume model is a nightmare.
Some people love it and some people make very good livings in it, but it's very, you have to have it dialed in just so.
Yeah. You have to know your market so specifically yes. for what you're going to be doing
yeah,
in it.
Seeing 50 to 60 appointments a day?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks.
I mean, just could you think of the emotional roller coaster that you're on, seeing that many appointments? And you know, out of 50 or 60, do you know how many clients will probably yell at you?
Half.
Mm-hmm. Long days.
So
long
you might as well make that 20 to 25 appointments, and you'll have less people yelling at you.
Yeah. And create a more valuable experience for the client.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that because clients are paying for the experience as much as they're paying you for your expertise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes me sad. I mean, the one thing I want to, the greatest thing my relationship with the two of you brought me was, hey, Todd, hey, Ryan, do you know any veterinarians, any RVTs, anyone who wants to come looking for a job, want a better place to be? If I've built that trust with you, where are you going to send them?
To you, for sure.
Well, the good ones.
The good ones, yeah.
We're going to send you the best of the best. But if there's someone that may not fit the culture, then we're going to also say, hey, like, we don't have the right person right now, but we'll, if it comes to us, we'll definitely point them your direction.
I mean, the reps ultimately have just a really good feel of what's out there in the territory or the geography. You know, on average, I was probably calling on anywhere from 5 to 10 hospitals per day at that moment. So, you know, if there was a technician who was disgruntled and wanted to look at other opportunities, like, and I knew you were hiring, like, certainly, yeah, mm-hmm. that was worth a conversation. And that's what I always try to do, again, going back to the value piece, is like, bring something of value that's going to impact your business in some way, shape, or form.
Well, you both did impact my business. I mean, going back to Todd Tuesdays, Mallory will speak for this.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to Todd Tuesdays.
We loved it. We were so sad when...
It's because I brought you guys In-N-Out Burger.
You know, I mean, so that was a huge part of it, Todd. But we also genuinely...
I knew my role.
you know your place at Canyon, right? Food always brought us... No, but we thoroughly enjoyed seeing you, right? I mean, we could be in surgery, you could wave through the window.
Always.
I felt like... You would kind of stick around and wait for everybody to be able to chat with everybody. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Teresa had a good crush on you going there for a little bit.
I didn't know about that one.
Oh, she did. Loved her some Todd Tuesday. But it was just great, you know, always seeing you guys and always having you guys around. Like, we look forward to when you guys come in.
Yeah.
Well, but not being those, back to that creepy sales rep or that, you know, that cheesy sales rep role.
Well, and reps who are tenured in the vet industry, like, you could have them come in and it's not a disruption, right? Even if you're doing surgery, like, I always loved Dr. G would be doing an extraction or some type of surgical procedure. And, you know, I'd be off in the distance, but still able to have a conversation with him. And you know, it's just effective use of time, bringing something of value, not just to him, but to the entire staff. I think that's where you can really differentiate yourself as a rep.
Well, I mean, the fact that you are able, again, to bring in and just say, hey, just got word that such and such product is going to go on back order, or this is a new product that's coming out, don't know much about it, but I'm going to bring the actual rep in from the company to speak to you. I mean, those are huge advantages that make your life easier. I really feel as if, like in vet school, I mean, like the reps would come visit vet school, they bring pizza and they talk about a product, right?
Yeah.
Which was great. I love learning about new products, but I didn't think it was, I wanted to get to know the person better because I'm thinking to myself, I need to tap into that network. That's like, if I get close with Todd and I build trust in a relationship with Todd or a relationship with Ryan, all of a sudden I'm tapping into their network. Mm-hmm. And your network is hundreds of clinics.
Yeah.
And hundreds of companies.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember I was trying to do the remodel.
Oh, geez.
At Canyon. And
remodel.
I mean, the thing is, like, and you found out, and you're like, hey, you do realize that Patterson does have a design. You know, satellite. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And then also, they were like, we also have, you can buy your cages and all your stuff from here, and we have this financing and all that.
Yeah.
If I didn't know you, I would never have known that was available.
When I was working at OCVAS, we were looking to open up a kind of working portion, a more lab-oriented portion of our program.
Orange County Veterinary Assistant School.
Yes. And I immediately reached out to Todd. I mean, that was the first person I called, and he was like, all right, this is what we can do. Here's my guy. Here's the number. But I had zero hesitation. As soon as I knew we were going to start building out, I knew who to call. And if we have trouble with our machines, I know Ryan's not the rep for, you know, OCVAS, but I was like, if I ever had any big looming questions, I always knew I could go to them. But again, like you said, you priced things out for us about opening, and it really helped.
Well, and that's being that partner with you guys and understanding the first step, create budgets, just get all that stuff in line to help make your guys' life easier. If you don't have the right resources, partnerships, and people that you know and trust, everything is a lot harder in life, and no one gets where they are successfully without people there supporting them. So I think that the industry as a whole could do a lot better together than we do apart.
I mean, we had a separate conversation not too long ago about the corporations who are coming in and are now trying to streamline their ordering, where you're now ordering through online platforms instead of actually reaching out to your rep and having a conversation with your rep. You have no idea when stuff is going on back order. You have no idea when stuff is going to be shorted, and you're kind of just left looming, and you have no idea when stuff is going to come back in stock. And
as a practice owner, you have no idea when the price is going to go up 30x.
Right, and you have no idea when new products are coming out. It's all of a sudden in your search menu when you're looking for products, and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that came out. But specifically once we went corporate, we really lost our relationships with our reps because everything has to be done, you know, according to their rules and how they want things done.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, really, if you're not seeing your reps, you're doing yourself kind of a disservice as far as just even on the business side. Like, how do you know, you know, the pricing is in line? Have you guys discussed, you know, opportunities there? We used to deal with, preventative care offerings where you had an opportunity to, like, earn additional IDEX points and different things that were available as far as resources for you.
Don't get me going on that. IDEX point,
I loved. I thrived.
She's like, hey, G, just to let you know, I bought 5 boxes of Spec CPL because I got you a blanket.
Yeah.
And literally the blanket was about as big as my iPad.
Yeah, it was a small blanket.
Small blanket?
Yeah, it was more like a
wouldn't
dog.
Wouldn't even work for the pig.
It wouldn't even work for anybody.
He's like, yeah, he was like, oh, so about my, you know, X amount IDEX ball. And I was like, you got a blanket. Like, what?
But I mean, if you didn't know about IDEX points, you never would have been able to get the blanket or the CPL test. And, you know, it's just, again, there's promotions, there's opportunities.
You know what you did for me, Todd? You told me about the Patterson credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And that Patterson Visa card, mm-hmm. I bought everything at Patterson on that Visa card. And I mean, when you get 10X points as a practice owner, I mean, there's very few benefits financially, tax-wise, from owning practices. I mean, you could be creative, right?
Yeah.
But I had so many points. It was all Christmas was done.
Love that.
We could go on a travel.
Love that.
I mean, those are things, though. But you gave me that. You said, hey, we got a credit card.
Yeah.
And you get, like, right now you get 50,000 bonus points for signing up. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, considering I order through Patterson.
Right.
Why don't I use this credit card?
Yep.
Like, that gets back to the business piece, though, that really isn't taught in school.
Correct.
And knowing your reps isn't taught in school. Mm-hmm. It's the soft skills that are totally avoided in school. Mm-hmm. And that's why I bring wonderful people like you in to explain how important those soft skills are.
Do you see a huge difference between your seasoned vets and your new grads just in the way that they interact with you guys and the way that they kind of handle themselves in the clinic?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, every veterinarian kind of has their own approach to the situation, but I would definitely see the younger vets are a little bit more open-minded on, like, going back to my diagnostic days, like protocol expansion. You know, are we just screening for heartworm, or are we doing a full vector-borne, you know, tick-borne screen, you know, and why? Why? Well, I've always just screened for heartworm because that's what we've always done, you know, and then you can have kind of an intelligent conversation around what the prevalence is here in Orange County, different things. But I felt like, you know, maybe sometimes a veterinarian who's practiced for 25 or 30 years are kind of set in their ways, right, as far as their protocols, mm-hmm, and what tests they ran.
Which is a big mistake as well.
Correct. Yeah.
If you ever get set in your way in a profession that is not perfected, you're going to fall behind.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, technology and pharmaceuticals are evolving,
correct,
more rapidly than ever before. And having that outside resource and someone that's there saying, hey, be on the lookout. As a veterinarian, your head's kind of down working on your patients, working on getting through the day. You need someone that's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, look out over there. You got something coming that you need to be aware of. If you can be that resource, that's making a huge impact. And then going back to your question about the different generations and stuff like that, I've noticed that a lot of the younger vets kind of look to their mentors to see, how do you interact with reps? Are you friendly towards them? Are you kind of distant? And they kind of mirror that. And I think that's something that can really help with the older, more seasoned veteran people, helping them understand why reps are coming in, why they're important, and how they can be utilized to help them both with the medical side of the practice as well as the business side.
Yeah, I mean, I would see over my time of calling on the vet industry that, you know, if there was ever an instance where maybe a veterinarian didn't talk to me immediately, like, you end up finding down the road, once you can expose it, that there was probably a bad situation or something that had happened, and they really hold that memory near and dear. Like, they don't forget things.
And it's usually not you. It's usually just some
random...
It's a
previous rep or something. But they maybe had a bad experience with the company. And I remember even early on when I was calling on you, I'm like, I'm not always able to get his mind share.
Mallory had a very specific phone number.
Yeah.
For IDEX.
Yeah. Before.
VR.
We really only originally, I mean, we were so antech heavy. We really only used IDEX for stone analysis.
Yeah.
Was really the big kicker that we would send over for you guys.
Well, it's because IDEX sold me that bullshit program Cornerstone.
That was horrible.
And so when I learned that and peeled back the onion, you know, and learned more, there's always typically a reason. But, you know, companies evolve, reps change.
Well, I've heard Cornerstone has evolved. A lot more companies are a lot more veterinary clinics are using Cornerstone, but it was sold to me like it's the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
And the problem I have with veterinary platforms that are running practices is they're technically still about 15 years behind what you're capable of doing on your regular computer now. So it was like a DOS-based program. Like, you had to click here, click here, click here, open this page. There was no copy-paste function. You know, it was, and they were like, oh, go paperless. And you're like, and I remember they took me to a practice that was pimped out IDEX. Everything was IDEX. They're like, come see what we're going to be able to do with your practice. And we walked in there. And they had the IDEX blood machines, x-ray machine, which, by the way, the IDEX x-ray machine is, these new ones are
amazing.
Amazing. But everything was IDEX. And they're like, we're all going to run it from right here. And they brought the veterinarian out and they're like, show them how it's done. And it was a total freaking goose egg.
Jeez. This is before my time.
The veterinarian did not know how to go from thing to thing. The techs couldn't get the x-ray machine to pull up, the blood work to pull up, all that stuff. On the way home, that's when I'm like, okay, we're out of here. Improbed. Yeah. You're in.
Yeah. And again, that was before my time, but like...
That's because a rep misled me.
And that's, too, it just shows you technology and how it's evolving. Like, that platform really, I mean, everything now is kind of cloud-based and a little bit more advanced as far as the technology, but still, like, that was a big step from, like, paper records, right?
Right.
You know?
But don't tell me it's ready to go paper light or paperless.
It wasn't me.
I know. but we were going to talk about nightmare stories. Let's go with it, because totally. We had another one. We had the 100-year flood in Laguna Canyon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my laser...
R.I.P.
R.I.P. because it picked up and it... Everything made it except the laser. For some reason, it picked up and it fell in the water. So what did it fried the motherboard, right? And the guy came in and he's like, oh, well, you know, this technically is not covered by the warranty. And I'm like, okay. He's like, let me go make a phone call. And this guy goes outside and he's not the smartest. He stood by my window.
Yeah.
And
like 1970s windows, right?
That was right by the parking area.
And I heard him. I heard him talk to his boss. He's like, "Oh yeah, man, I think I got him. I'm going to sell him another. I'm going to sell him another 5-year warranty, and we're going to get him. He's going to pay for a new machine."
Oh jeez.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. How you build trust,
right?
Yeah.
So he comes back in, and I told him, "You know what? Just do me a favor. I can't get rid of this machine because it's trash and I can't throw it in the dumpster. Why don't you take it with you? We'll put it in your car for you."
Yeah.
And you should have seen the look in his face like, what the hell just happened?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you should be able to have those conversations in front of the doctors to build trust, right? Like, I never saw either one. You walked outside for different reasons. You never walked outside to have a conversation about us, about the clinic, or ways that you could help us, right? Maybe it was your wife calling.
They would call in front of us.
Right. There's no shame in the game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you weren't trying to pull anything over us.
And again, you were a very unique practice. Not every practice was like that. You kind of were like my home away from home in the fact that I always felt like I could ask Dr. G specific questions that I was getting pushback on, and to better understand medically why maybe a doctor wasn't all about SDMA or all about a specific test. So not all customers were like that. And I credit your success to the fact that not only would you see reps, but you would answer our questions and you would spend some time with us. It was very unique. You don't see that everywhere.
Well, like I said, I like to be a disruptor.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's really helpful, too. Like, when new products were coming out, like you said, we were one of the first clinics with the in-house cytology machine, and we had some kinks in the issue with, you know, in the beginning with some issues with it. And, I mean, but we figured it out. We got it up. We got it running, and we were going straight through it. But, you know, hopefully that avoided some other future problems for you guys, right? Or things that you could, right? Your light's purple. Hey. By the way,
that's not even mentioning the time that it fell on the patient while it was in surgery.
Morgan caught it. Morgan caught the light, right? Little 80-pound Morgan caught the light with like one hand. When
I remember, I'll tell you a quick story.
Oh, we're going horror stories.
No, we're going back to horror stories.
And just to clarify, it wasn't on the patient. The patient was in surgery and it almost.
I think I know the exact time that your wife actually started to trust me, and it was you call me at 6:30. I was at the gym. Doesn't look like it anymore, but I was at that time.
Well, you're a father now.
I know. It happens.
Yeah.
But you call me. You go, Todd, I got to be really honest with you. Amy is really, really upset. And I was like, put her on. And we did a three-way call. And I apologized profusely because it was something that we genuinely messed up on. But I was going to make sure that we got it taken care of. And I was there the next morning. We're getting it all taken care of, squared away. And I think after we got that done, I think that's when she kind of understood the difference between someone that is here, hey, I'm going to get them. I'll get this 5-year warranty and a new unit versus, hey, we got an issue and we got to get this fixed.
Well, the issue that she was dealing with is the next thing I wanted to bring up, which is what we call the gatekeeper, right? Every practice has a gatekeeper. The gatekeeper is the person that does not allow your reps to come talk to you. What are some of your, and with her specifically, it was after I bought the practice, and I was moving away from the company that the gatekeeper absolutely loved. And actually left the practice for a while to go work for, but then came back. And she had convinced my wife that every other company was the devil and no one would do what this company was doing. Right then and there, Todd, you proved to her that the gatekeeper was wrong. Mm-hmm. And right then and there, I was able to tell her it's very important that you talk to your reps, your associates talk to your reps, your RVTs talk to your reps, and even the receptionists talk to your reps, because Patterson was offering a phenomenal product that allowed us to text our clients. Yep. That was amazing. And you also had the product that would send out service reminders. Mm-hmm. That after we sold, immediately was changed to some POS I'm going to try to keep it PG. POS program mm-hmm. that did nothing but fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And guess who we had to talk to? Nobody.
No one.
Nobody.
No.
Yeah.
And our clients were furious.
Yeah.
Give me a nightmare gatekeeper story.
Oh, wow.
Where to begin? Let's go back into the Rolodex.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've experienced as reps, I think, you know, everything you could possibly imagine as far as trying to gain access. And, you know, I always would try different methods. Like, there was always just one hospital in particular that over my 12 and a half years, only on one occasion I was able to kind of get in the back, and it was with the help of
a
distribution partner actually helped me at that time. So, you know, I think there's not like a crazy horror story or anything like that involved, but it's just like you were just shut down with certain hospitals in certain cases. My first career out of college was working in the copier world with Xerox. And so I was comfortable with being told no and coming back. And you know, I think ultimately people would understand that, you know, I'm not threatening them by trying to, like, sell them something. I'm really here to help the clinic. And once they realize that, once they trust you, and like you were saying, once you're accountable with, you know, not everything's perfect. If you're accountable as a rep, I think that goes a really long way. But, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any horror stories per se. But we've seen pretty much everything I think you could see out there.
I mean, you mentioned it. That's the one that sticks out the most to me. But like Ryan said,
my practice?
No, not your. Well,
my gatekeeper?
For you, I called on you for 2 years, and Kat never let me in. And she would actually tell me that you weren't in, and I'd be sitting there like looking at you through the window, and I'm like, that's right.
I finally saw him on a Good Friday. So that's why anytime I talk to other reps, I'm like, anytime you're going to like just go home for the day at 2 or 3 o'clock, just make one or two more calls. Because the day I caught you was like a Friday, I think, at 3:30. Mm-hmm. And you were not happy with the other vendor. And I think that's where we just had just a basic
conversation. It was the perfect moment.
It was the perfect mm-hmm. moment to walk through the door. But you know, honestly, it's just important to give reps that time and that opportunity. And I say, you know, reps of caliber, reps of value that are going to bring something that's going to improve your business or the products or services you offer.
Well, one of the things is, you know, if veterinarians aren't early career vets are not doing well in the clinics, they can go become a rep, right?
100%. Yeah. Most, like, I can only speak on the diagnostic side, but diagnostic companies now have veterinarians that are part of their extended sales teams that kind of cover a geography, which was extremely beneficial for me because I learned about hypertrophic cardiomyopathy or SDMA, like the medical benefits or diagnosing kidney disease or iris staging. Like,
those are big words for an Arizona grad.
I know, really proud of you. Look at you.
I mean, once they're ingrained, they're almost like a kind of a fecal code. I still know all the fecal codes for.
Yeah, and the stone code is 909 for your stone, for the stone analysis.
IDEX stone code is 909.
It is.
Yes.
Anybody was wondering.
And that just will tell you what it is. It won't give you the breakdown. I remember one time we sent it out, I don't know what, at the very beginning of practice when I just started. And literally, it gave me the percentages of every element in the stone. And I'm like, give me a break. What is it?
What is it?
That's all I care about. Let's keep things simple. Patterson has multiple facets, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have dental, human medical.
Human medical got sold off.
Okay.
But, yeah, we do have our primary branches are now veterinary and dental. I've actually switched over to the dental side a couple years ago. But it's very fun to see the similarities in small business medical professions in the United States and how things are eerily similar yet different. And one thing that I love about the position that I've been in is being able to pull from my experience on the veterinary side to apply to the dental side to give them just another like way of looking at doing things or way of approaching things and utilizing that knowledge to for the betterment of the practice, for the procedures, the way that they're talking to their patients, stuff like that.
Was there ever a time where you were able to talk to an early career vet that was having difficulty?
I mean,
give them advice?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can't draw the specific situation, but I was involved with a lot of startup hospitals and doctors who maybe had 5-6 years of experience who were really kind of learning the ropes, I would say, early on. And I think as a rep, just because you see so much and you've seen a practice that's run really well and, you know, a business that's operated successfully, like, I think that's where we really bring the value is you can really talk about, you know, hey, you may want to consider this or look at this or read this article, you know, coming from the diagnostic world, I always used to provide like peer-reviewed studies or evidence that like, hey, this does work or this is something you may want to consider. But I think the reps that really get it are truly not just a rep, they're like a business partner and somebody who can impact a hospital tremendously.
A business partner that charges the owner.
What are you talking about? I don't do any billing.
But that's another thing, really quick. With billing, if I ever had a problem with billing, I could just call you guys directly. I didn't have to get involved in a 30-minute hold time.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Or being passed from person to person to get to the correct department.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually something that I work with my current team on a lot is understanding no rep likes to talk about money. And it's very, very funny.
No veterinarian likes to talk about money.
No veterinarian likes to talk about money. However, part of your duty as a business partner is making sure that there's no service disruptions. So even though it's a very awkward, horrible conversation to have at times, you still got to do it because it's for the betterment of the practice. It's making sure that you're getting the stuff that you need to be able to perform the procedures that you're going to do. And it's 30 seconds of awkwardness to maintain and build that trust even more.
Yeah. Well, before I was with Patterson, I was with Victor Medical. And I still did stuff with Victor because I really loved, and you guys know the rep. Amazing man. Amazing, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But the one thing that really did it for me is my daughter's calling.
It could be an emergency.
No, it's not. But the one thing that Victor Medical did with me is they decided to work with me during 2007, 2008, 2009, when, you know, revenue was down. Mm-hmm. Revenue was down.
Yeah.
Period. Revenue was down.
Yeah.
And I still needed supplies. I was still seeing people, but people weren't able to pay their invoices. Mm-hmm. The bank of Canyon was open.
Yeah.
Because I was always, and Mallory can speak to this, that I never thought, you know, if I could help an animal, I would do everything in my power to help the animal, right? Yeah. It wouldn't be gold standard, but we would find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was because of my rep that I was able to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I mean, that's the thing also. You're able to do creative financing through IDEX with me. You're like, oh, yeah, we do this bank, we'll do this, we can do this loans. And even Patterson had their own 0% interest loans. On stuff. I remember one time, just to be a total obnoxious guy, I bought something for like $1,200.
That one got called out. I don't think I ever told you about that, but I got a phone call for that one going, Todd, are you serious on this one?
Oh, really? didn't I take like a 10-year loan on it?
I want to say it was 12 months, 0% for like you said, $1,200. And they were just, I got that phone call. Can you just like get him to do like some split payments or something? I'm like, nope, that's what he wants. We got to go for it.
Wants the financing.
That's awesome.
But I mean, that's what you do. You got to have fun with this profession, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You got to have fun. So did you guys ever get chances to go to vet school and talk to people? Vet students when you were...
So I worked very...
Or even at conferences.
The conferences I think we're all at. You know, in fact, I got Western Vet coming up in a couple months. But I was really involved at the schools, like at the time, Stanbridge was a big one. So I was really trying to work with the technicians before, like once they came out of school, they had like a baseline knowledge of our company and our services provided. But even as a whole, I know IDEX works very closely with all the Westerns, the UC Davis, the Cornells of the world. And we really keep our pulse like very close on schooling. But yeah, I think
UC Davis is not the best.
we'll switch from there. How important do you think it is to get the students when, like you're saying, either RVT students or veterinary students, to get them on board with your products and used to using your equipment and seeing your kind of gold standard of care? So when they do move into practice, that they kind of already have your back, or that they're already kind of know what's going on and are rooting for you guys and want to bring you on board.
It's so important that they have that working knowledge. Like we had a suite of analyzers in there so that they could operate analyzers and run quality control. So you think from a technician standpoint, if you're managing a team of technicians, like how great is it that this person's coming in? They already understand, you know, how to operate the systems, how to maintain the systems, things like that.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of value in that because that's what they're exposed to. Same thing with software. You know, hey, I've always used EasyVet or I've always used this particular platform.
Right.
So it's just knowledge, really, at the end of the day.
And for us, it's really about starting that value proposition right then and there, starting the relationship. Because of technology these days, there's so many different avenues for procurement of products. And a lot of times that's going to be potentially cheaper than everyone else. We have procurement platforms that are coming in saying, here's your 16 different vendors, pick the one that's cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not telling the full story about what it is to be a true partner.
Right.
If you're looking for just a logistic partner versus an actual business partner. And getting in with students at such an earlier time frame allows you to start to build that differentiation of value. Are you going for just purely price, or are you going for someone that's going to be looking out for you, bringing you these updates, helping you grow your practice? For new builds, how are we going to help do design, build out, build your other partnerships, get you supplied, stock with the right items? The last thing you want to do is open your doors and you have a surgery and you go, I didn't order scalpel blades.
Right.
So being able to, for them to understand what we do is imperative for future success.
I hope so. I hope they are. Last question. What would you say the best CE for veterinarians to go to? Orlando, Vegas, smaller?
Well, I personally haven't been like involved in a lot of CE presentations.
No, I'm talking about just in general.
Like location-wise?
location-wise or even just meetings in general? Because you would be on the Vegas floor.
Yeah, I'm always at Western. You always used to go to AVIM, right?
ACVIM. Yeah, that's the one I love, but I'm always the go-getter.
Yeah, VMX, I've never been to, so I couldn't tell you on that. But the reality is like some of these companies can offer CE even at the practice, which is, you know, again, a value of talking to your reps. I remember my time with IDEX, I could bring in my veterinarian and offer CE in your own practice and bring lunch. And so that was a big differentiator, I felt.
Lunch and learns are the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth the investment.
Quality lunch and learns are the
correct.
Best.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to show my bias here, but the Patterson Academy classes.
Yeah. We had quite a few employees who.
I did them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Veterinarians went to school to become veterinarians, but they didn't get the other part of the industry. And so I know that the crew over there has just been working relentlessly for decades now, getting that educational platform in place. I hope that they will bring back in-person meetings at some point, but the relationships that we would develop, the understanding of the practices and the struggles through those educational experiences really was invaluable. And I remember this, one of the first people that I had when I came to California that went to we called it Patterson Vet University at the time. It was such a positive experience on her that she has now interned and actually become an instructor for us.
Oh wow.
That's which super is, cool.
I think that speaks Rhonda. A lot.
Yeah.
About
that's
the,
awesome.
You know, the program itself.
Which is also another avenue veterinarians that are having difficulty in practice can go to. Teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Specialize in some sort of education and go around and lecture and teach as well.
Yeah.
And you can do it with reps.
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So the Patterson University was pretty cool. I have to admit, I forget, I went to El Segundo a couple times for that.
Yep.
But I didn't go to all of them. I only went to specific ones. Like, I didn't want to go to the one that was on inventory. Sorry.
No, that one I wouldn't want to apply to.
And I think, too, you know, being a part and being a strong member of the local VMAs is a big, I mean, Southern California does a great job with their VMA. I just did a webinar probably 2-3 months ago. Helping veterinarians prepare for practice ownership. And it was a CE that was managed through the SCVMA, the local VMA. So I think the VMAs are great groups to be a part of so that you can discuss like some of the common challenges and pitfalls and things to be aware of as a veterinarian. But I know every geography is going to be a little bit different. So
what territories did you have, Todd, when you were here?
I had South Orange County.
That's it?
I had South Orange County. Then eventually I had probably about 20 in North Orange County, Long Beach area.
Mm-hmm. So when I started, I had Riverside County, Orange County, and Hawaii. And then when I finished, I had pretty much South Orange County.
Yeah.
It's my territory.
So both of you basically had like the incredible part of veterinary medicine.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much.
It's a good demographic area. Now, with my current role at Provide, I cover all of California and Nevada and Hawaii. So it's large spectrum.
So exactly. So if you're a veterinarian who likes to travel.
Yep.
Right. This is possibly a job for you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to just sit in a clinic. There's so many jobs available to veterinarians out there. That you don't have to leave the profession. You can still give back to the profession and still use your education, but do something different.
I mean, what did we look? There's 13 new veterinary schools opening, right? New vet med schools opening. So, I mean, there's going to be a huge lack of quality teachers, right? So,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And also the manufacturers, you know, I think that's a great opportunity as well. I mean, I think... When I had left IDEX, I want to say they were close to 20 different professional services veterinarians on a national spectrum. I'm sure it's even larger now. So there's a lot of opportunity.
They're always looking. They're always looking for more.
Oh, yeah.
Always looking for more.
So. Yeah, definitely.
But, guys, I just want to tell you thank you for all those years of, most importantly, friendship, but also all those years of guidance and helping me out, helping the practice out, helping my family out. And more importantly, even helping my staff out, because like I said, if you ever have an upset staff or a weak staff, you're screwed. So That just to reward my staff any way I could was the best.
Yeah, and thank you. I mean, Mallory and G, like, I think I could speak for Todd and I both in the fact that, like, it was a true joy calling on your clinic. You know, I think you guys always made it fun and enjoyable and entertaining, and I always laughed at, you know, when I was in there, and it was kind of like, I always enjoyed going, you know? There's some hospitals.
At least you enjoyed going. I didn't enjoy every day, but most of them.
But you always made me laugh. It was something I look forward to in my day. And, you know, thank you both so much for that, because that meant the world to us.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I can't say it better than that. I mean, we always had a thing called Comfort Clinic, and that's why it was a Todd Tuesday. Because at that point in time, I'd been through my Monday, and I needed something to make me smile. And coming into Canyon, seeing you guys was always like that pick-me-up that I needed.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks again for listening. And I just remember, it's important. Network, communicate, relationships, that's all part of this journey that we're all on. And if you use them to your advantage, positive things can happen. Talk to you all next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.